Wise ones have told us that if we can just impress our subconscious, it will do all the work for us. And today we're going to let Flossie tell us how to do this. Welcome to Sobriety Snippets for Women Over 40, where we elevate our mindset and trade hangovers for higher consciousness, one powerful snippet at a time. I'm Becca Jacobson. Welcome aboard the Snippet Train. It's Monday, the 9th of March, and I'm super excited because today is day one of Snippetland Live, building your best chapter. My dear, are you with us? What am I talking about? If you don't know, you don't know. I am doing a live event this week. It's starting today at 7 p.m. Eastern. I'm going live with a group of women who've signed up. We are together in a WhatsApp group. We've been gearing up for about a week. Women have been joining for the last week, and today we begin. I'm going to walk you through 5 days of laying the foundation for your sobriety and showing you how to make this the best chapter of your life. So if you're not with me in Snippetland Live, my dear, what are you waiting for? Go to the show notes, tap the link, and it's certainly not too late to sign up and come and join us. If you can't be there live, not a problem, not a problem. I will send you the replays. So let's get that happening. Meanwhile, today we are looking at Florence Scovel Shinn's amazing 101-year-old book, The Game of Life and How to Play It. We're several chapters into this book, and today we are looking at the chapter called Casting the Burden, Impressing the Subconscious. Impressing the subconscious. Gals, this is an important one. We talk a lot here in Snippetland about our thoughts, which tie tightly to our emotions. It's all about mindset. And we talk a lot about the subconscious. And we've heard, all of us have heard, that if the subconscious can be impressed, it will do the work of changing our lives for us. If you haven't heard that, I'm here to tell you it's true. That everything that happens to us in our lives comes out of our subconscious. We have beliefs about ourselves, deeply held beliefs that create the circumstances of our lives. Negative, positive, anything in between. The subconscious doesn't care if it's good for us or not. It just does what we've programmed it to do. And we program the subconscious through our emotions and repeated thoughts. The problem is that the impressions we put in our subconscious have been put there unintentionally and often through events in the past that we aren't even aware are still affecting us. All right, so we know that. Flossie certainly knew that. Here's what she says. Here's how she opens this chapter. When man knows his own powers and the workings of his mind, his great desire is to find an easy and quick way to impress the subconscious with good. Yeah, right? Once we know this, what I just said to you, once we know that, isn't your first desire to go, oh my goodness, then somebody tell me how to impress my subconscious so it can help me? When we're working against our subconscious, it's a living hell. We want one thing. Consciously, we're trying to build a particular life, but subconsciously, we're doing something the opposite. Our subconscious mind is working at cross purposes, and it becomes an incredible struggle. One that we often lose. So instead of working on what we're doing consciously, our goal should be to reprogram the subconscious. Well, how? The question then becomes, how? And as Flossie says here in the opening of this chapter, our great desire is to find a quick and easy way to do this. Yeah, I'm in. So let's find out how she tells us to do it. Well, one of Flossie's favorite ways is words, affirmations, using affirmations. And she says, in my own case, I found the easiest way is in casting the burden. And she puts casting the burden in quotation marks. So that was a quote. So Flossie says, in my own case, I found the easiest way, that is the easiest way to impress her subconscious, is in casting the burden. What does she mean by that? She's using old biblical language to simply say that she's going to take the burden that she has and give it to her subconscious mind. When she talks about casting the burden, she's getting this from the 55th Psalm in the Christian Bible, which says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Flossie then says, many passages in the Bible state the battle is God's, not man's, and that man is always to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. She's interpreting this to mean our subconscious, which is connected to God, according to Flossie. Here's another quote. She says, this indicates that the superconscious mind, the Christ within, is the department which fights man's battles and relieves him of his burdens. So in other words, Flossie is likening our subconscious or superconscious mind to the Christ within or God. And she's saying, don't try and fight it yourself. Cast it off to God. Give your burdens away. Impress the subconscious. Instead of trying to fight on the conscious level, you don't have to be, by the way, a Christian to believe any of this or do any of this. She references the Christian Bible. Why not? It's a very important and wise book, isn't it? And Flossie lived in an era, probably more than ours, although it's still with us, where people relied on the Christian Bible. And so she says in the 55th Psalm, we are told, cast thy burden upon the Lord. And how do we do this? We let our superconscious mind fight our battles for us. I love this idea. I mean, it's what we do here in Snippetland. I'm always saying to you, we elevate our mindset. We want to get that subconscious mind working for us so that it's not constantly fighting against us. Old programming from the past. We have to revise, reframe. We have to revisit the past and clean it up and free ourselves from negative emotions. And we do this through the emotional journey I'm always talking about. We cast the burden off. If you're just trying to do everything yourself through your conscious mind, you're fighting a losing battle, right? We want to get the subconscious mind working for us. Flossie gives us, as always, many examples. She loves to tell stories, and she has many stories because she worked with people on this. Here's one. This is a quote. For example, a woman in urgent need of money made light upon the Christ within, the superconscious, with this statement, I cast this burden of lack on the Christ within, and I go free to have plenty. A belief in lack was her burden, and as she cast it upon the superconscious with its belief in plenty, an avalanche of supply was the result. What Flossie's saying is this, that we can use affirmations and faith. Now, there's more to this than just affirmations. Deeper into this chapter, we're going to get there in a moment. What she's really talking about is faith over fear. Faith over fear every time. And so we can't just parrot off a bunch of affirmations like this woman who said, I cast this burden of lack upon the Christ within and I go free. She can't just say that over and over like a parrot and hope to change her life. She has to do it with faith and without any doubt or fear. And Flossie gets to that in a moment. But casting the burden or impressing the subconscious is all about a faithful repetition of a belief that we want to incorporate into our lives, giving it over to the Christ within. If you are a believer in the Christ within, that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Cast your burden upon the Christ within you. And if you're not a believer in the Christ within, my dear, you still have the same workings deep inside of you. Your subconscious mind, whether you believe it's connected to Christ or not, is still there, still doing the job, gonna do the same work for you. There's no law that says you have to believe that it's Christ. Flossie tells us the statement should be made over and over and over, sometimes for hours at a time, silently or audibly, with quietness but determination. She's teaching us how to do affirmations. But then she gets to the key of all of this. It's faith, my dears. Here it is. Quote, in order to impress the subconscious, active faith is always essential. Faith without works is dead. Flossie says, in these chapters, I have endeavored to bring out this point. She wants us to have faith in our own subconscious minds or the Christ within. Flossie says, in fact, active faith is the bridge over which man passes to his promised land. So to put this into modern terms and non-religious terms, if you prefer, all she's saying is we have to have faith in the belief that we have a subconscious mind that's connected to something greater than us, and we can give our burdens over to that subconscious mind. Instead of trying to do it ourselves, we have faith that we are guided, and the subconscious mind will guide you to hell or heaven, depending on how it's been programmed. That's why we work here in Snippetland on mindset, on changing the deep internal beliefs we have about ourselves and our past and the way our lives are unfolding. It's so important. Flossie then turns to She's introduced the idea of faith now, and she turns to fear because, of course, faith and fear are polar opposites. She says, there is no peace or happiness for man until he has erased all fear from the subconscious. Fear is misdirected energy and must be redirected or transmuted into faith. There it is. Over and over here in Snippet Land, I've said that doubt and fear are our biggest enemies. If we doubt our ability to live a happy, alcohol-free life, we will never have it. If we're afraid to embark on our happy, alcohol-free lives, we will never get them. Fear and doubt will take us down every time. And doubt is especially tricky because it tries to pretend it's being reasonable. Doubt sounds like, oh, come on, you failed before. Well, that might be true, but it doesn't mean I'm going to fail this time. But we believe it. Doubt is a very sneaky voice in our heads. And fear, of course, keeps us frozen, especially because it gives us permission to keep drinking. Flossie says, Jesus Christ said, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? All things are possible to him that believeth. And then she says, I am asked so often by my students, how do I get rid of fear? I reply, by walking up to the thing you are afraid of. The lion takes its fierceness from your fear. And gals, I say this all the time too. The monster of sobriety that's hiding under your bed is only scary when you don't face it. If you haven't taken your first steps into sobriety, doing it through on the emotional journey that I'm always talking about, not just white knuckling it, but taking that emotional journey, you are afraid and you will continue to be afraid of the unknown, the big monster sobriety that's hiding under your bed. When we face that fear, it diminishes, it shrinks to nothing, just like nothing. Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Flossie says, I will repeat, to get rid of fear, walk up to the thing you are afraid of. If you've been putting off your sobriety, my dear, walk up to that sucker and punch it in the face. Make it happen. Listen, if I can do it and others can do it, my dear, you can do it. All right, let's keep going here. Near the end of this chapter, Flossie says this. Man has so long separated himself from his good and his supply through thoughts of separation and lack that sometimes it takes dynamite to dislodge these false ideas from the subconscious, and the dynamite is often a big situation. Have you ever noticed this? That to get us out of this rut, this complacency that we're in, we have to have a big situation. It happened to me in 2018. I was going along, binge drinking like I had been for over 20 years as a college professor, even longer in my life, going along on the binge cycle, the painful binge cycle. And then in the fall of 2018, as you may know, or maybe you don't, depends on how many snippets you've heard, I fell into an 8-day blackout in the fall of 2018. And my dears, that was my big situation. All of a sudden, I had missed an entire week of work because I was in an alcoholic blackout. I'm supposed to be in the classroom teaching my students, and I'm at home in an alcoholic blackout. That's what I would call a big situation. Flossie calls it a big situation. Here in sobriety, we often call it hitting bottom. But my dear, you don't have to wait to hit bottom. You can gather up your courage now and face that monster on the pathway and realize that it's not as scary as it looks and take faithful steps into sobriety. Take this emotional journey and change your life. Flossie says to us, we should watch ourselves hourly to detect if our motive of action is fear or faith. Are we acting from fear or faith? And that's where we're going to leave this chapter. That is the end of the chapter. She gives some examples after that and she finishes it up. My dears, are you acting from fear or faith? When you continue to drink and put off taking this journey, is that from fear or faith? Well, the answer is clear, isn't it? It's what I did. I put it off and put it off and put it off. And then I ended up having to face a big situation. And let me tell you, missing a week of work in an alcoholic blackout was not just a big situation. If you can imagine the humiliation I had to go through, I had no choice but to tell my boss, the dean, when I finally came out of my alcoholic blackout. The story's here, right? But, I had to get a hold of them. They're like, what happened? We've been emailing. We've been phoning. I was just gone. And I had to walk into the dean's office with the union rep beside me and my chair there as well, and sit there and look them in the face and tell them, I was drinking. It's alcohol is the problem. Talk about humiliation. Why, oh, why do we wait? Don't be like me. Don't wait for a big situation. Do something about it now. And one last time, gals, today is day one of the 5-day free event called Snippetland Live, Building Your Best Chapter. Join us. Why not join us before you end up in a big situation? And remember, my dears, always ask yourself, are you acting from fear or faith? Thanks for popping in. Be sure to come back next time so I can keep your head on straight. Sending you buckets of love.